All right, well, we'll go ahead and get started. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the October 19th, 2023 Economic Development Freight Advisory Committee meeting. We've got a fairly short agenda today. The biggest reason we're here, of course, is to hear about the freight plan and hopefully going into finalization on that. But before we get there, the first thing is the agenda. I'll just ask if anyone's got anything they want to add to the agenda today. Okay, so we're going to say that's approved, and we're going to move on to the action item for today, which is the approval of the June meeting minutes. So hopefully everyone's had an opportunity to review those meeting minutes. I don't think we have a quorum today, so we're not going to bother taking a vote, but I will just open it up in case anyone has any questions or comments at this time. All right. Hearing none, we're just going to say those are approved and move forward to other business. The first item of business is the MPO boundary, MOU, and bylaws update. Wicoda, thank you.
Can we just do the presentation, and I will talk about that one, because all the other committees have to revise their bylaws. So I just want to point it out to the ADFAC after the presentation, so we can switch the order.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So then the next thing is going to be the status report for the regional freight plan update. Chris, thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. So my presentation for this morning will be pretty brief. It's really just to provide a last update on the regional freight plan. At this point, I believe the committee's had a couple of weeks to review the draft final report. So really the focus of today's presentation will just be to kind of walk through in presentation form some of what's contained in that final report, and also to give the committee an update on what has changed from the draft recommendations based off of the feedback that we heard from the last round of that presentation and draft. So really that's our agenda for today, an overview of the final report. We'll have a brief discussion on the revised final recommendations and then just discuss our next steps for closing out the regional freight plan. So with the final report that is posted to the MPO's website and that has also been transmitted to the ADFAC for their review, there are really about four main sections to the report. The first one being the plan, purpose, and overview. It really just gives the reason why we're doing the regional freight plan. It also provides readers an overview of what was the vision, the goals, the specific objectives that were established as part of the regional freight plan. From there, it moves into freight in the core MPO region. This section really outlines the multimodal freight inventory for the three-county region. And it also presents an analysis on current and future demand, so using that analysis of commodity flows that we got from the TransSearch database. Once that is completed, it delves into the freight system assessment. The freight system assessment is really analyzing the conditions and the performance of the region's freight network. So where are there poor pavement conditions? Where you see travel time delay? Where do you see some of those other issues that really set the foundation for identifying the needs? Once those needs are identified, the report moves into the strategies and recommendations. That was really the focus of our last presentation. What are those specific buckets or strategies or solutions packages, as we like to frame them? What are those buckets of strategies, and what are the specific recommendations that comprise those? So that's what's really outlined in the final report. And it includes all of the key findings and key information from all of those various technical memos that got completed as part of the regional freight plan and that are also posted on the website. So just a little bit more detail on each of these sections, the plan, purpose, and overview. The goals and objectives that you see on the screen here, these were established at the very beginning of the study and using the region's long-range plan as kind of the foundation, the basis for that. Again, that first section of the report, it summarizes that vision, those goals, those objectives, And it also includes a summary of all the stakeholder outreach that was completed as part of the regional freight plan. So if you recall, we did two stakeholder forums, one virtual, the other in hybrid format, so virtual and in person. There was an online stakeholder survey that freight stakeholders as well as the general public had the opportunity to chime in on what they see the region's needs and issues are. And we also completed a number of one-on-one stakeholder interviews, really with key shippers, economic development agencies, all of those that really have a stake in the freight system functioning as it should. From there, we move into freight in the core MPO region. Again, this is an overview of the network. It provides an inventory of all the freight assets that the region has. So roadways, rail lines, ports, of course, air cargo. It tells readers what all those assets are, what is the focus of our study, and why they're important to the region. And at the bottom of the screen there, you see really the technical memos that are reflected in that chapter. So 2.1, the existing and future goods movement assessment, 2.3, forecasting freight growth, 2.4, the freight profiles and assessment, and also text 4, the economic development and market assessment. All of that is reflected in that chapter, freight in the core MPO region. In the next chapter, freight system assessment, again, this focuses on the conditions and performance of the network. So all of those technical analyses that got completed as part of task 2.8, which is the needs assessment, task 3, the land use assessment, and also task 5, the environmental community impact scan and analysis. All of that work is summarized and presented in this chapter. And again, the purpose of it is really to just give readers an overview of what are those challenges, and based off of the stakeholder feedback, but also the technical analysis, what do we see as the region's needs? And this slide here really just summarizes those needs, the different buckets of needs that were identified as part of all those technical analyses. So for safety, looking at where crash rates seem relatively high for the region, congestion and reliability, we looked at travel time delay, we looked at buffer time, we looked at travel time index, a number of different measures that characterize where you have delay or where you have travel time concerns on the network. We looked at connectivity issues, specifically with at-grade crossings, community environment. We did some analysis to take a look at where the freight system maybe disproportionately impacts certain communities versus others, and also to make some assessment of what are those environmental impacts as well. On the land use side, we've established needs for how the region has historically developed, as well as how it's developing into the future and where those potential conflict points arise. And we also looked at truck parking pretty early on in the study, having an inventory of the region's truck parking capacity and having some analysis on if we think that's sufficient to meet future demand. And lastly, we took a look at resiliency, where we got some information on different natural and man-made hazards using information from FEMA. And we overlaid that with the freight network to get an idea of where the freight network might be vulnerable to some of those different hazards so that we can make some recommendations on the resiliency aspect as well. So once we establish all those needs based off of the technical findings and the stakeholder feedback, that's when we moved into establishing the strategies and recommendations. So that chapter of the final report summarizes all of that information that is in more detail in the recommendations memo and was also presented at the last meeting. But this chapter is really defining that comprehensive set of strategies aimed at improving performance of the network, but also on reducing its impacts to the community. It develops short, mid, and long-term goals, or not goals, rather, but recommendations to be implemented. We've packaged those into these 8 different categories that you see on the side of the screen here. And also in that chapter, we include a discussion on what are some of the different funding opportunities, those different federal, state, and even local funding buckets that the MPO could look at accessing for actually implementing the recommendations that are contained in the final report. Also in that section, we also give readers, we don't want to just present them these recommendations without giving them an idea of how we separated them into different buckets for prioritization. So we also outline what was our prioritization framework. And really it's just letting them know that we looked at the time frame. So how complex is the project? On what time frame can it be implemented to separate it into short, mid, and long term? We group projects both inside and outside the MPO's boundaries, since that's going to have implications for the different types of funding that it might have access to and the process that it has to go through to actually be implemented, and also separated them into tiers. Some of those smaller, lower-hanging fruit projects will be a lower tier, something that can be implemented pretty quickly, whereas some of the larger projects that will have a bigger impact on the region, those are going to be a higher tier since they're more impactful, but they're going to take longer to implement. So based on the feedback that we got from the last meeting and also from your review of the recommendations memo, as well as the draft final report that's been published, we made some revisions based off of the last time that we spoke. So I wanted to just take a few minutes here to just orient you with the final report to show you where those changes have been made, and that way to just help aid your review of that document. So the primary areas where we made changes, so the first one, strategic capacity expansions, some feedback that we got from the committee was specifically in the Rockingham Farms and also in the Pine Barren Road area, that the potential community impacts for having better network connectivity or capacity expansions in some of those areas might be a bit too much given the sensitivity of the environment in some of those areas, as well as the populations that they'll be impacting. So some of those recommendations have been revised. So if you look at the original version of the recommendations versus what's included here, you'll see changes to those recommendations. Also, one of our early buckets of recommendations was increased capacity, enhanced operations, specifically on the freight rail network. One of the comments that we got back was that really that should be expanded to be more multimodal. So we changed that to have it be more reflective of the region's other freight modal assets as well. So we added some recommendations that are specific to ports, specific to air cargo, to make it just more encompassing of the broader network. For one of the recommendations for increasing access to safe truck parking, a recommendation that we got was there seemed to be a little bit of a missed opportunity to align those potential investments with what the state is doing with its alternative fueling infrastructure, its NEVI plan, and also accounting for some of those environmental impacts of truck parking. So we did go back and make some revisions to that recommendation to essentially to try to better align that with what the state has published as part of its NEVI plan, its electric vehicle plan, to make sure that any investment that is specifically on 95 or I-16, which are, you know, those alternative fuel vehicles corridors, that any investment in truck parking is supportive of that, and you look for opportunities to have alternative fueling. On the network resiliency side, we got recommendations about taking a second look at different resources that are out there, specifically from AASHTO and as well as from Federal Highway, their Office of Planning. They had some good practices and recommendations as far as resiliency. So we took a second look at those recommendations and made revisions for those as well to include a little bit more of what AASHTO, what Federal Highway has put out there for resiliency as well. For mitigating impacts to the communities of environment, that one was really more so about going back to that discussion and making sure that we tie those community and environmental impacts back to the analysis that took place as part of resiliency. There was a little bit of disconnect between those two. So we did go back and have some more discussion about how those two are related. So you will see those, you'll see that reflected in the final report versus what you saw in the recommendations. And then lastly, with land use, there was quite a bit of jargon in there. And so that one was really, really two main things. One, going back and revising language to make sure that we're spelling out for readers what we mean by some of these terms. Not everybody's a land use planner. So we did do that with that specific section of the final report. But also one of our strategies, and Pam, you really called out this comment or this need, was that we were a bit off with our land use strategy surrounding land banking. Land banking is not something that the region, the counties can really do. You can have reserve right away, but not land banking. So we did go back and change that recommendation so that it's reflective of what the counties, what the regions are actually capable of doing, so that it's meaningful for actual implementation. And so we made all those revisions. This slide here really just puts in print much of what I just said verbally. We made revisions to those various solutions packages. Some of the language in there has changed, but really the major changes were for those specific recommendations, except for the support and increased capacity. We changed that one from the freight rail network to the multimodal freight network, since that one was broadened to encompass other freight modes. So those were the real high level changes. So as you're reviewing the final report versus what you saw last time in the recommendations, please look for those changes. But just to give you an idea to help you kind of read through the document, that's where they were made. Here we get into just a few more of the specifics. Again, much of these I've already gone through on the advancing strategic capacity side. There were changes to the recommendations surrounding Pine Barren Road and Rockingham Farms for freight operations, mobility, and safety. Already there's an ongoing US 17 study that had really just kind of kicked off as we were wrapping this up. So that has been changed slightly to recommend a phase two that extends into Liberty County. I believe that currently it stops in Bryan County. So, or no, Chatham County. So extending that through Bryan County into Liberty County, since, you know, the Hinesville area has also seen a lot of development, specifically on the industrial side, on the freight side. So in addition to 95 being an important corridor for connecting to what's going on in Hinesville, 17 is an important corridor as well. And many of these I've already gone through as far as like the resiliency side. We incorporated more information from Federal Highway Office of Planning, also ASHTO, their Center for Environmental Excellence, and then also some changes with the community environmental impacts, specifically adding some recommendations about the long-term measuring and monitoring of emissions in the region. That's something that you don't necessarily see for a lot of MPOs doing, but it's certainly important as we have greater emphasis on environmental impacts of freight. So that was one of the recommendations that were added, and you'll see all of this in the draft final report that's been posted. So this slide here just kind of summarizes the breakdown of those different recommendations. So if you compare it to the last version of this same slide, in addition to some of the language and these, the eight different recommendations categories that you see here, you'll see that there was a slight increase in the number of specific projects or recommendations. So previously that total was 98. With the additions and the revisions, that number has gone to 103. The bar plot here shows that breakdown by those different categories. Operations has majority of those recommendations, as when you look at the fairly recently completed studies for State Route 21, for State Route 307 and others, there are quite a few operational and safety improvements that could be advanced from a freight perspective. So much of that is included in there. Still quite a few capacity expansions and other projects and recommendations in this revision to that. So I'll stop here for a second in case, I don't know if anyone here in person or online has looked at the final report and maybe has some more specific questions that you want to ask about changes that you've seen with the final report versus what we presented the last time with the recommendations. For you. I'll pause for a second in case anyone online.
No, but I'm excited to look at the final report. I guess I didn't realize it was available. So thank you.
Okay. But should have advertised that a little bit. My apologies for that, but it is available. So really our next steps are to just really to close out everything. The documentation and all source files are being finalized for the completion of the regional freight transportation plan. Technically, our closeout is the end of the month, October 31st. So, barring any extensions, we do need to get the comments and everything back by then. But if more time is needed, I'm sure that can be coordinated if needed with the NPO.
And where can we get a copy of the final report, or where can we find it? Where can I find it online? Okay, on the website.
Yeah, it's on the ADFAC, the freight plan. Yeah, we do have a dedicated website just for this.
Oh, plan. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I share that information many times. But we can just go back to the website and to show you where all the information is.
Yeah, I'm sure it's my fault. That's on the core MPO website as well?
Yes, it's on the core website. It's
okay, great. Thank you.
All right, thank you, everyone. That's really my presentation for today. So, again, not a lot of new information to present, just to say that it is out there. Review it, let us know what you think, and we can work to close things out. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You really did a great job on this, and we really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate all the great feedback and comments. I think it helped to have a better semifinal product, almost final. So thank you for the feedback.
Okay, Chris, I do have a question. So you revised all these recommendations. That means you will revise all these, include this updated information in the final report. Are you revising the previous draft technical memo as well to incorporate all these changes?
So, yes, definitely. So that's we are for the recommendations final report. Much of it has already been changed. We haven't resent that draft yet, but yes, all the technical memos, any changes that were needed for the final report, we are going to make sure that that gets reflected in the technical memos that comprise it, essentially.
Okay. Another thing I think we did mention, I'm pretty impressed with the technical memos, the quality of them. And then have you addressed all of the comments? For example, Anna provided a lot of comments. So we are incorporating all of that into the technical memos and the final report, right?
Yeah, so with kind of given the timeline when some of those comments were received, what we did was to first make sure that they get reflected in the final report, since that needed to kind of go out, to make our timeline. But yes, so we are in the process of finishing going back through the technical memos and making sure that those comments get reflected in those as well.
Okay. And then my last question is, when I was reviewing the Word document, they probably wouldn't check all the links, but when I print them into PDF, some of it says the link error. So we need to make sure all the links are corrected.
Yes, definitely. Some of the references might have got, if a table name changes or a number changes, sometimes Word will lose the link to it. So we are going back and make sure that when you print it versus the document, the Word version, that link actually shows up. So making those small edits as well.
So as far as the report, you say this is final, but not exact. If there's any additional comments, then when will it be final? Is that the end of October? Is it pretty much final now? Or are you just going to address any additional comments? I would like to share this with my bosses and management, but I want to make sure that it's the final version when I do that.
Oh, it's closing?
Hang on, everybody. We got technical difficulties.
Okay, I'm showing the freight plan website. So you can see all of the information that we have about this one. So you have the presentations, agendas, and the meetings, and also the deliverables. Right now, you can see the deliverables is just show draft. The final report that Chris mentioned was the development of the final report and documentation of freight goods and services plan. So this is the document that he was talking about. But what he's mentioning is that he's going to revise all of this. So after October 31st, we are going to post all of the like final. So it wouldn't be showing the draft. So it would be final. So right now the consultants, Chris and her team and his team are working on just addressing all of the comments and fixing in the final details. So after all that is done and all of these will be replaced with the final report. So the information over here. So I think we can probably just share with all the local jurisdictions, land use recommendations or final recommendations. So they can use as a guide for improvements, planning for improvements. And also I want to mention that Chris did provided us with a like matrix of projects. We actually just have the matrix to see which projects are recommended from, say, State Route 21 Access Management Study, from State Route through 7 Corridor Study, from the US 80 Corridor Study, from the Effingham County Master Plan, Transportation Master Plan or something, and an additional project from this one. So we have that matrix, and we are going to also include probably the results from the travel demand model, and we are going to use the matrix to build the projects for the 2050 long-range transportation plan. So I just want to let you know that the draft matrix is already available to us. And then they also provided this like freight model. I don't want to show you this one.
Why, Cody, that matrix you're talking about, is that available to
not yet, but to all of you yet?
Okay.
Yet.
When is the TCC going to get a chance to
we
that?
Are probably have to have like a special called TCC meeting,
okay,
just dedicated to develop the 2050 long-range transportation plan project list. That's when we're going to show you that. So okay. I think Genesis, we're going to like talk about some of that information this afternoon. So one of the information that we do want the TCC is probably just to have like a work review group. So probably meet more often until we have finalized the project list. But we do have the matrix to start with. For the freight plan, I do want to share with you, this is the updated information or new information that is available to us that we haven't presented to you yet. These are the regional modal profiles, the highways, and the rail, and the port, and then the air. So we do have these four pages. And we can probably just print this out and then bring that to us, with us to the public meetings. We're going to conduct the second round of, the public information meeting for the 2050, plan. So we do have this information. We also printed this information, actually have them on the display unit for the GIS day. So people, or if you are interested, if you want to like share this information with your committees, so you are welcome to print this out, because this information is available online. So you can print it out and then share with your committee if you want to like focus on something. Just want to let you know, these are the new information that has become available since the last meeting. Okay, any questions on this? But you can definitely just go back. Hold on, let me this. Okay, you can always go back to this core freight plan. So after we post all of the information, including today's presentation, probably over here, add the information update, all of this. So all of this finalized information will be posted over here. And you are welcome to just share information, with, if like Effingham County Channel 20 wants to have a Tees Blast referendum or something. I mean, you're welcome to use this information as the basis, because these are really, really backed by solid technical analysis. Okay.
Thank you. So what's left on the agenda here? Do we still need to talk about the bylaws then?
Yeah, I can go and talk about the bylaws a little bit. Because we have been presenting to the other committees about the Corn Peel planning boundary update and the MOUs and the bylaws. So we, at first we have this as action item, but I don't think it's implementable. So right now, so we expect and probably have all of these adopted, in December. So basically we updated our boundary on the boundary that Chris talked about in this, like for the recommendations, group A, group B, that is based on the current boundary. So we are updating our boundary, and, our boundary will be including, all of Chatham County and, all of the southern half of Effingham County, south of State Road 119, and all of Bryan County except Fort Stewart. And, in this MOU, we are still waiting for information from all the jurisdictions to let us know how they want to split the membership dues. So we haven't finalized that yet because we haven't got any information. I know Pam sent you some information. You sent us information saying that probably Chatham County shouldn't pay the 25% or something, but we haven't got any information from the commission chairmen or commissioners or county managers. So we're still waiting for that information. And Effingham County and Bryan County, we haven't got that information, how they want to internally split. But regarding AFAC in MOU, the language regarding AFAC is included in here. Let me see. Okay. It is further intended that the Economic Development and Freight Advisory Committee, AFAC, shall advise the freight planning efforts of the Corn Peel and to ensure economic development is considered in identifying transportation improvement projects and setting priorities. The membership and dues shall be enumerated in the Economic Development and Freight Advisory Committee bylaws. So this is what's a very short paragraph included in the MOU regarding the AFAC. But we do want to do a little bit updating on the bylaws for the AFAC as well. So what I was trying to do with this bylaws, we want to like have a standard format. So for example, all the committees have to have the election at the same time. And then the quorum, you cannot say like TCC have 7 and the CEC has 35% and ACAT is 8 or something. So we are going to standardize that to probably 1/3 of the membership plus 1. But for the AFAC, I do want to did suggest some changes to the AFAC. Mostly it's the membership, because we won't have for all the committees, we want to have like voting members and then non-voting advisory members. Basically, I want to add in the voting members those people who show up constantly or have a very good track record of showing up. And then the advisory members, they don't show up, but we can still invite them in and we still need their input, but they probably, since they don't show up, and that restricts our quorum as well. So my proposal is to just have all these like CSX, Norfolk Southern, all those moved to the non-voting advisory members. GDOT Freight Planner and FH Freight Planner, currently they are voting members or they attend, but we didn't say what their roles are. So I think they probably, to be consistent with TCC, they can probably the freight planner or freight plan to be non-voting members. So these would be some of the changes regarding the AFAC. So we are still collecting input on this as well. So if you want to just after today, you want to just review this section, because AFAC, actually the bylaw section for the AFAC doesn't have that many changes. So you can just take a look at this and then let us know how you think. So we're still collecting input and we try to finalize this in probably in December. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, sounds good. Thank you. Information reports. Let's see. I don't know that we have any projects. The only project that we have, I guess, that would impact freight would be the I-16 State Route 17 Jimmy Dulwich Parkway interchange project, which is in preliminary design right now. I think right away is planned for 25 and construction's long range. So that one's ongoing. That's about all I have as far as project status. Does anybody else have anything they want to talk about? If not, then I guess this meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.